that said some state is requiring the Bible to be taught in schools. Did anybody see that? What state was it? Because I didn't read it. Was it Oklahoma? Okay. Isn't that something? Okay, something that always was now has to be legislated in. But we're free to carry it, you know. When I go to school, I still go to school. I'm not like Russ. He doesn't go to school anymore, you know. Okay. But I still go to school because I just love working with my special education students. But I have my Bible, you know, and it's on my desk. And I dare anybody to tell me to take it away. Okay. Number one, I'm old enough to speak my mind. Number two, I can tell them I don't need this job, so you can just take it, right? Okay. But it's there. We have freedoms to do that. We can celebrate the greatness of America because of our natural resources, our natural beauties. In your mind, picture the greatest and the most wonderful natural beauty that you have seen in America. What would it be? You know, one of the things that I've seen here recently that I really love was I was out in Yosemite National Park. And I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but they have what's called the tunnel view. And you look over El Capitan and Half Dome and just see that is gorgeous. Okay, some of you others might be picturing the natural resources we have of being down on Pine Creek when those nice caddises are coming off. And you're sitting there, and boy, you're flipping them in there, and some nice big brownie comes up and grabs that thing, goes away, flips you off. You never get them, but nonetheless, it's wonderful. We have natural beauties. Our country around, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. We have that. We can celebrate that. We can celebrate the greatness of America because we have a good form of government. It's broken and it's fracturing, but you know what? In my mind, anyway, it's still the best government on this earth right now. I don't know how long the Lord is going to tarry or how long he's going to let us go, but for right now, it is the best form that we have. We have a country where everyone has a chance. Everyone here has a chance to enjoy things. However, in America, it's still possible to enjoy all the rights that are guaranteed to a citizen, but still not be free. It is possible. Do you know that there are many Americans today who are free socially, but are slaves spiritually? Take your scriptures, if you would, this morning and turn to the Gospel of John. I have to use my iPad because my eyes are getting so bad, that's the only thing I can blow up and see it. So excuse me if I use this electronic means here to worship this morning. But in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, okay, Jesus is here speaking to a group of people who thought that they were free, okay? They believed because that they were sons of Abraham, and we'll look at it and read it. They believed that because they were sons of Abraham, that they enjoyed spiritual freedom. This is what they thought. But Jesus lets them know, because they are sinners, they are slaves to sin. So let's read verses 31 here through 37, where John writes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Well, Jesus answers them, and he says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Father in heaven, we're thankful unto you today to be able to look into this portion of Scripture. Father, I thank you that we can see here just right off the bat that freedom spiritually comes from the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this. And we just pray now, Lord, as we look at a couple things in here that certain things might prick our hearts, or that we might remember something and just be able to be blessed and go away from here praising you, being better servants. God, we look to you now for insight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Paul repeated the same thing, actually, over in Romans chapter 6, verses 16, where he said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." And what Jesus is saying here in this particular scripture, what he wants those people that were with him at that time sitting around there, and he wants us to know even today right here this morning, is that he has the power to make men, and look at verse 32, it says here, to make men truly free. It'll make them truly free. And he reminds us, because we were slaves of sin, that we're not really free. Okay, and this is what he's saying there, that they were sins, that they were sinners, they were locked into it. Okay, and that he has the power, he and he alone has the power to make men truly free. You know, you can be locked away in a prison or in a dungeon somewhere, and you can still be free to worship Jesus. If you don't believe that, read about some of the modern people who have been taken and put into prison because of their beliefs, and had to listen to brainwashing day after day after day, subjected to physical, horrible torture, and yet they never broke, because in their minds, in their hearts, they were free indeed. And this is what he's trying to tell people. That we could be like this, okay? And on this July 4th, as we celebrate freedom as Americans, and we should, let's also celebrate as Christians the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ and from God, okay? We want to focus here mainly this morning on verses 32 and 36, and I want to look at three things here. I want to look at the source. The source of our freedom, the scope of our freedom, and then the sacrifice of our freedom. And as we look at these things here in the scripture for here, think also of the source of our freedom as Americans. Think of the scope or the breadth of our freedom as Americans. And then think of the sacrifice that gave us freedom as Americans. This is what we want to look at. So first of all, let's look at the source of our freedom. Jesus says that the source of spiritual freedom is in the truth. Notice verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. And what's going to make you free? The truth is going to make you free. That is the source of our freedom. Now, the word truth here refers to that which is true in respect to God and the execution of his purposes in Jesus Christ. That's the truth as it relates to God. That's what we're talking about here, okay? In other words, the truth that Jesus refers to here is the whole truth regarding who he is and what he did for sinners. It refers to the whole truth about Jesus Christ. Now, this truth that we're talking about here, the truth of Jesus Christ, it is seen all around us, is it not? Is anybody without excuse? You talked about Papua New Guinea today. There are many tribes in Papua New Guinea. We support the Hausas as well. Somebody living in a tribal situation who has never heard the word of Jesus Christ, who has never encountered a missionary, who has never encountered anything related to Christ, is he responsible for his sin? Huh? Is he responsible? You see, we can know about Christ from what is around us. Turn to Psalm chapter 19, if you would. Psalm chapter 19. Look at verse 1. It says here about the truth of God, about Christ. It says here that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. The truth in Christ is seen around us. I see here where the heavens, the sky, the firmament, show his greatness. It says, day unto day uttereth speech. What are those heavens saying? What is the firmament saying to everybody in the creation? They are speaking about God. Yes, everybody is without excuse. Okay, everybody. And this is also picked up, if you want to look at it too, it's also picked up in Paul picks it up in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. He talks about the very same thing. David talks about it. Paul talks about it. Okay. We all say this, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, correct? But it says here that the heavens and the firmament are speaking and are uttering to everybody in every language. So the truth is there to make everybody free if they would only listen and search. And that's what we know there. So we know that about the truth. We know the truth about Jesus Christ is found in the gospel, correct? Anybody know where the gospel is in the scriptures? Huh? What's that cutesy little section that we talk about? It contains the gospel in a nutshell. Anybody remember that was? 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3, remember, this is the truth contained in the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is the truth. This is the gospel. For first of all, Paul says there, I delivered unto you that which I received. How that, now here's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and that he what? Rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And that speaks the truth about Jesus Christ. All of scripture preaches towards that. But that's where you can find it in one little nutshell. The truth of Jesus Christ is found on every page of the Word of God. Now, I say this because it's true, but sometimes I find it difficult because it says on every page of the Word of God. This week in my Bible reading, I am in 1 Chronicles. Okay, and I started with chapter 1. Has anybody ever read 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 1? I'm sure you have. Okay. You know what 1 Chronicles chapter 1 is? He begat he. And these he's are people's names that I have no clue how to even pronounce. Okay, that's the entirety of the chapter. But yet, we know it's written by God, given by God. So somewhere, the Word of God has to be in there, correct? So every page of the script, everything is there. I'll be honest with you. I got to about halfway down the chapter, and I just went to chapter 2. Because I had to read chapters 1 through 4. So I went to chapter 2. You know what chapter 2 was? The same thing. You know, only different tribes. I mean, you got to remember, there are how many tribes of Israel? 12 tribes, right? So we had to go through the whole, you know. So I said, okay, I'll skip chapter 2, and I'm going to go to chapter 3. Guess what? More of the same, you know. But in all the, it has to be there somewhere. But I did notice that this, every once in a while, in the middle of those names, you might see something that says, now he was a great man of God and killed and did such and such a deed. Oh, there's a nugget. See, why was he such a great man of God? Where did he get the power to do that deed for God? Who empowered him and who did this? You see where you can, even in there, you can find things out about God. Okay, so we know that the truth about Jesus Christ, we can see it all around us. It's found in the gospel. It's found in every page of the Word of God, and it is revealed unto us by who? Who reveals unto us the truth of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit, correct? The Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 16, if you want to turn there. It says in John chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And you can see in the beginning part of this chapter, Christ is saying that he has to go away. He's going to send another comforter who's going to teach them. But he's going to do this because he's sending the Holy Spirit to teach the truth of the Word of God. Because we know that the truth is going to make you free. And you know the Holy Spirit is only going to speak the things that he heard from the Father. He is only going to teach us true things. He is only going to teach us things that are right. And if we listen, that's what we're going to get. So the source of our freedom is found in Jesus Christ, the Word alone. His Word alone. Now, that's the source. Now, what's the scope? What's the breadth? You know, the scope. How far does it go on? Jesus says in verse 36, it says here, when he makes a person free, verse 36 in John, I'm sorry, go back to John. Chapter 6 there again. He says there in John chapter 6, he says there that when he makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, if you look at verse 36 there, okay, it's this word free. I don't know, we see the word free there, and it shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That word free there is not the same word. In English, it is the same word, free, F-R-E-E. But in the Greek, in which this was written, this is not the same word. The first word, free, that's written in there, the source of our freedom is this. It's like to set somebody at liberty. You're free. Like a slave who's set free from his slavehood. You're free. Okay, that's the kind of free that we're talking about. But in the next word, when he says you shall be free indeed, that word free there means you were born free, okay? You were never a slave. As if you were never a slave. So that's why he says there, you know, I shall make you free indeed, okay? He's the one who saves us. It's so complete. It's as if we were never slaves to begin with, but as if we were freeborn sons of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I was born a slave to sin. That's who I was born. Now, Jesus Christ did come and redeem me, okay? And I accepted him as my Savior, and I became free. But now that he looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's as if I'm one of his freeborn sons. And me and my brother Jesus, guess what we're going to inherit? All the things that are in heaven, right? Because we're the same. We're not a servant. We're free in Christ. That's the breadth of our freedom. Okay, we can thank God for that. It's absolute. It's so great. It's amazing. We are free. Consider what we're free from. We are free from the wrath of God. I don't know about you, but I do not want to face God's wrath. I praise God that somebody already faced God's wrath for me. And that was Jesus Christ. I praise God for that. But I don't have to face it, okay? Because I've been liberated. I don't have to face the condemnation to hell because of Jesus Christ. I am delivered from the power of sin. Do I sin? Do you sin? Yes. I did sin on the way to church here this morning. Okay. I was running late. And I didn't want, you know, Russ and Bill and you here to worry that I wasn't going to get here on time. So I'm coming down the road here. And the speed limit in Stony Fork happens to be 35 mile an hour. Well, I hope nobody saw me, but I was buzzing through there at about 55. Okay. And the thing is it wasn't accidental. Okay, I knew it. On the way through there, I'm saying, boy, I'm hoping that Stony Fork store is closed and nobody's pulling out of that parking lot so that I can go buzzing through there without, you know. So I knew it. Okay. But Christ paid the penalty for that sin. I sin. But we're free from the power of that. We're free from the power of Satan. We were delivered in Christ Jesus, and his deliverance is complete. His deliverance is full. You can never be any more saved than you are right now. Okay? Right now, I am eternal in Jesus Christ. You know, there is nothing that I can do that's going to make him look down on me like, you did that, huh? Boy, you're going to get it, you know. No. He already knew what I was going to do. He paid the price for it. There's nothing. That's the deliverance. That's what we have. That's the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Okay? It's so broad. There's nothing. It's vast. That freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. The source is the truth. Okay, the scope is absolute, complete, eternal. Now, what about the sacrifice of our freedom? You know, the freedoms we enjoy today as Americans was not cheap, was it? You know, there is estimated, I think, because we don't really have 100% true records, but there's estimated to be 1.5 million men and women who have given their lives for the freedom that you and I are going to celebrate this coming Thursday. Not only have 1.5 million men and women given their lives, but just think of multi more who have been wounded. I don't even know of a wounded veteran or a disabled veteran, you know, who are walking around with broken bodies or broken minds because of their willingness to sacrifice for our freedom. We know that. We can go from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to, let me see, was that World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, then I get these ones mixed up. But I think it was Desert Storm, correct? It was after Vietnam. Enduring freedom or Iraqi freedom? Enduring freedom, I think. And then Iraqi freedom. Okay. And then we still have men and women who are sacrificing today for our freedoms. I'm going to read you something here. I want you to consider this. This is about the signers of the Declaration of Independence, you know, that thing that's hardly even studied anymore in schools. Okay, but anyway, this says that five signers of the Declaration were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 of these signers had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or the hardships of the Revolutionary War. These were the 56 men who got together to sign our Declaration of Independence. So what kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well-educated men, but they signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. They signed, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. Carter Braxton of Virginia, he was one of the ones. He was a wealthy plantation and trader. He saw his ships sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered General George Washington to open fire on his home. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mill were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home only to find his wife dead and children vanished. Never saw him. A few weeks later, he died of exhaustion. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These men, these 56 men, were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Stand tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged, for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. As an American today, are you willing to do that for our freedom? Those men were, and they paid it, okay? Our freedom was purchased at a very high cost, but the price for our natural freedom was costly and bloody, but it pales in comparison to the cost of our spiritual freedom. It pales. How many people died for our spiritual freedom? One, correct? Is that more costly than 1.5 million Americans? Is that one more costly? Absolutely. Absolutely. It pales. You see, because the scriptures tell us about Jesus Christ, it says, it was there that he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due times. Timothy tells us that. It was there that he became the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for sins of the whole world. Think of the whole world right now. How many people are living right now in this world? And how many sins have they committed collectively right now? Christ paid that penalty. It also says there, and this is what gets me in Isaiah 56, verse 3, it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is that us all? That us all there is every person, every man, woman, boy, girl, child that ever walked or breathed upon this earth from Adam and Eve to right now, throughout the millennia. Now, can you grasp how many sins that is? I can't, because it's an unfathomable amount of sins. Every one of those sins was placed upon Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that he was sweating blood in that Garden of Gethsemane when he knew he was going to the cross. It was so emotional for him. He knew that every sin was going to be placed upon him, one who knew no sin. And he knew that his Father, who he is with forever and will be, was going to chastise him. Think of that. Think of that cost. You know, the physical torture was brutal for Christ. Was brutal. But I personally think that the emotional realm of Christ was more so than the torture. I'm one of these weirdos who firmly believe that Christ really died of a broken heart. He didn't die from those physical wounds. When he took upon us, himself, our sins, when he went down into hell, for us, for you and me. That was a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice. So, that death of one is much more costly than the death of those 1.5 million for our freedom. So when we think about that, what it means, liberty, freedom, okay? Be glad that God allowed us to be an American, to grow up here, to rejoice, to have our picnic on Thursday and to look at some fireworks. Okay, be happy for that. That came with a price, remember that. But in Jesus Christ, we also have our freedom. So when you think of that freedom, when you think of that fireworks that are going off there and you think of our freedom, sit there for a brief second and say, just think of the celebration in heaven when Christ paid the penalty for you and I, so that God can redeem back to himself you and I. Okay. Are you saved here this morning? Are you living in a free society, but you might not be free spiritually? If not, today is a day of salvation. Today you can be saved. Maybe you've been saved years ago, but you've been living some kind of a life that might not be demonstrating a life of free in Christ. But you know what? That could be taken care of today. He knows it. The Bible says that he is full mercy. He is a God of all mercies. He's a God of all grace. All he wants us to do is come to him, because his love is vast. It is extremely vast. Father, thank you for the freedom that we have as Americans, for the freedom that we have as those who have come to know you as Savior, for the freedom that can be there as a result of Christ. Father, I don't know everybody here. I only know me. And Father, speak to me. Speak to me to do something with what we've heard this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.